Good afternoon. Welcome to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, May 12, 2007, and I'm Harley Schlanger. I'll be your host today. In a series of statements over the last few days, Lyndon LaRouche has called attention to what he has identified as the growing ungovernability of nations. The Bush administration in the United States is non-functional. It's crippled by its lying incompetence in the so-called war on terrorism, which has reduced its credibility to the point that 11 Republican congressmen went to the White House this week to tell him that the war policy must change or the Republican Party will die. It's also crippled by its cover-up of the collapse of the physical economy, which is pushing the financial system over the cliff. Meanwhile, with the exception of the role of Lyndon LaRouche and his youth movement, the Democratic Party is offering no serious leadership, despite the fact that most Americans are now becoming increasingly aware of the nature of the crisis. In the last week, there were two other aspects of ungovernability which came into focus. First is the long overdue announcement by Cheney Bush ally Tony Blair that he's stepping down. And secondly was the election last Sunday of neocon Bonapartist Nicolas Sarkozy as president of France. The irony that is somewhat difficult for people to grasp is that ungovernability is in fact the policy of the financial oligarchs for whom the collapse of the nation state is a key goal in order to ease the imposition of globalization, that is a global fascist empire based on looting and depopulation. This was made clear this week when leading U.S.-based fascist Felix Roetten expressed his happiness with the election of Sarkozy. Joining us today to discuss this deepening crisis, the crisis of ungovernability at a moment of global financial turmoil and collapse, is Jacques Cheminade. We're very happy Jacques could join us again. He's a former candidate for president of France, a longtime collaborator of Lyndon LaRouche, and perhaps the last remaining institutional influence of the old Franklin Roosevelt, Charles de Gaulle tradition. Jacques is joining us from Paris. Jacques, welcome to the LaRouche Show.
Yes, I'm very happy to be with all of you.
Well, also with us today will be our regular panel of LIM members. Today we have Delante Bess, who's in the studio in Leesburg and is working on the editorial upgrading of the LaRouche Pack website, which I might add is being done with great success. And also, if the technical capability of the collapsing American telecommunications system is going to hold up, we should have Freddie Cornell with me in our studio in Los Angeles. So Jacques, let's start with this question of who exactly is Nicolas Sarkozy and how did he get elected president of France?
He's a one-worldist neoconservative with French Bonapartist colors. Now Blair is stepping down and Sarkozy is stepping in. You have to understand it that way. What is the purpose of the election of Sarkozy is the destruction of what's called the French exception. They want to destroy any chance for France to lead an independent nation-state policy. So Sarkozy is not part of the French nation-state tradition. He is inserted into France from outside by outside interests. If you look at it, you see that all the comments say that it's a neoconservative turn in France of the same type as the one in Great Britain with Margaret Thatcher, in Spain with José María Aznar, in Italy with Silvio Berlusconi, and in the United States with the Reagan and Bush turns. So what you have is something which is not French. It's an international operation with French colors. If you look at the press, the Washington Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, the Financial Times, the Economist, all the press of the international synarchy and oligarchy supported Sarkozy's candidacy. And now you have Richard Pearl, the American neocon, who says it's the end of the Gaullist exception. Thanks God Sarkozy is elected. And the boyfriend of Richard Pearl, Laurent Muravieck in the United States, who says the same. Then you have Felix Roatin, allegedly a Democrat, which fully endorses Nicolas Sarkozy, saying that as an American ambassador in France that he was, he understands that Sarkozy would represent in turn in favor, he says, of the United States. And the Gaullist exception, which will be the French nation-state policy, is finished, says Roitin. So all of them are happy because of that. If you look at Sarkozy's friends, he is the product of a set of people. The most important one, probably among them, is Antoine Bernheim. Antoine Bernheim is like his godfather, and he was the head of the old Lazare Frère institution in France. He's also the best friend of Vincent Bolloré, who is a tradition of the French neocolonial interests in Africa, and he's also with Martin Bouygues, who is heading the French television group TF1. Bernard Arnault also is with him. He heads LVMH, a French company of Chicheria, of which Félix Roatin was member of the board just after he was ambassador in France. Roatin was member of the board of the French bank Suez, LVMH, and Publicis, the advertising agency. So you have an American ambassador in France, which is fully immersed into the French policies, and who befriends with Antoine Bernheim. And this is a Lazare Frère tradition. And remember that Roatin in the United States, with André Meyer, is the one who set up the mergers and acquisitions in the United States. And then he came to France, and they have done the same. And now the Paris Stock Exchange, Euronext, the Paris stock market, has been taken over by New York Stock Exchange. Why? Because the New York Stock Exchange wants to operate from Paris with Sarkozy and a free hand to do worse than what they can do from New York. There is less regulation in Paris than in New York. So you have France becoming a platform for these financial speculations, these international financial speculations. And you have even the best of the French economy, the nuclear sector. 78% of the French electricity comes from nuclear energy. So now it has been given by Anne Lauvergeon, the head of Areva, the French nuclear firm. It has been given in the United States, for the representation in the United States, to Spencer Abraham, who is then the French representative of the French nuclear energy in the United States. And Spencer Abraham is a former energy secretary of the Bush administration, and he belongs to the Federalist Society, which is the type of neoconservative fascist people who promote the right in times of war for the presidency to break all the rules and all the laws, including the Geneva Conventions. So you have that, the French energy, given to this interest in the United States. So Sarkozy has a government organized to give away all elements of French independence and create a situation which necessarily will be a situation of chaos inside the country, because you can expect resistances. His social policy is a policy of destruction of the people who have lower wages and earn less than $1,000 to $1,500 per month. And he, at the same time, has a nerve to say, I am their protector, and if I'm destroying them on one hand, but I will protect them on the other, and I will put them in a situation where they will be, let's say, my slaves or my serfs, and they will be the base, the populist base for my government. But this won't work. You have a bomb, a time bomb set in the French institutions. So what will happen is that France will not have a word to say in international institutions or in the national, in the world institutions. And as of now, you have seen that that France joined England, Great Britain, and the United States in calling for the independence of Kosovo. So this is the first test. And the Russians cannot accept it, the Serbs cannot accept it. So there will be a first point of confrontation, France being part of the whole neoconservative financial oligarchy synarchy network. So France has joined that with Sarkozy. That's what has to be understood. And then it breaks completely the possibility for France to join the perspective of a community of development from the Atlantic to the Sea of China, the Eurasian land bridge. So this has been broken. So that's what Sarkozy is. He's a person, he's like a bomb thrown into France to destroy the capacity of the country to lead an independent policy and to have to be a support for what LaRouche is fighting for what I am fighting for, which is the alliance of sovereign nation states with United States, getting rid of Bush and Cheney, China, Russia, and India, and France, because it has a universal thrust, could have been part of that. For the time being, we are out of it.
Jacques, let me remind our listeners that Felix Roetten is also the leading opponent of Lyndon LaRouche in the Democratic Party, the leading opponent of the Franklin Roosevelt tradition, and also with George Shultz, his co-fascist. They were the promoter of the Pinochet coup in Chile, and they're promoting today Al Gore with his global warming hoax to disrupt the Democratic Party from taking up this four powers agreement of LaRouche's that you just mentioned. Now, you talked a couple of times in your opening statement, and you're listening to The LaRouche Show. This is an interview with Jacques Cheminade today on the developments of the last 2 weeks pushing forward this ungovernability project on behalf of the global financial oligarchy. Jacques, you mentioned several times the Gaullist exception, the French exception. And, of course, many people in the United States have this anti-French mentality without knowing why. The idea of an independent France seems to be a threat. What exactly is the French exception, and what has it meant in terms of playing an independent role in international policy?
It is a program of the resistance forces against the Nazis in 1944-45. Exemplified by the preamble of the French Constitution of 1946, endorsed by the Fifth Republic Constitution in 1958. So that's the policy. The policy is very similar to the Roosevelt speech of 1944, of January 1944, for social rights. It's very similar in principle, in orientation, and it had been worked together between the Roosevelt people and people in France. So the basis for that was a state where every worker has a right to a job. All families have the right to live properly, and the state has to maintain that right. And at the same time, you have state institutions like planning agencies and a bank who finance the projects, who produce to support that social justice. So this is destroyed now by the same people that in the United States and in England have promoted this policy of absolute privatization and destruction of the nation state institutions. So you have the same coming to France in a big way. It was done little by little in the recent period, in the last 30 years. But now all of a sudden you have Sarkozy fronting for it. It's what they call in France la droite décomplexée, the right wing without complex. They go ahead, they say what they do, and they do it. For example, Sarkozy, the night he was elected, wanted to spend his first night in the presidential suite of the Fouquets in Paris. This is owned by the king of French casinos, the group Lucien Barrière. This is the king of French casinos. So there you have the former interior minister, the new president, spending the first night in the hotel after night clubbing with the Chiqueria and the showbiz, spending his first night with in a room, in a suite of €9,000, which is $11,000 per night, provided by the king of French casinos. And then he goes to Malta and he spends a few days there in the Paloma yacht of Vincent Bolloré, who is connected to the whole, he's a speculator, he's connected to everything dirty you can imagine, including Felix Roatin, and he was a looter of Africa, of French-speaking Africa. So Sarkozy goes there in the jet owned by the Bolloré firm, and he spends a few days in the yacht earned by with a personal belonging of Vincent Bolloré. And Vincent Bolloré says, and Sarkozy repeats, that the Republic has not spent money in that, and it's not a problem. But it is worse than if the Republic had spent these tremendous amounts of money, like 4,000 or 500,000 euros. $700,000. It's worse because this was given to Sarkozy as a favor by this financial oligarchical synarchist interests as a favor, and Vincent Bolloré is the closest you can imagine, together with Sarkozy, from Antoine Bernheim, the Lazare Frère interest. So then you have the president who spent the first night at the place, at the hotel owned by the king of the casinos, and then goes to Malta on holidays with the interest of the oligarchy and the synarchy. So and he does it frontally. He says, no problem, I can do it. And he acts like a real parvenu, and he rubbed the noses of the population in that. So that's the first mistake, in fact.
Well, Jacques, now let me ask you, because, by the way, if you want to send an email question to Jacques and or the LaRouche Youth Movement panel, who will be brought on in just a minute, you can send it to us at radio@larouchepub.com. That's radio@larouchepub, LaRouchePub.com. Also on the LaRouchePub.com website, we have some written statements from Jacques immediately after the election. Jacques, during this campaign, after there was collusion to keep you off the ballot, even though there was a significant popular support for you, as we saw during the latter stages of the campaign, you then came out with a series of statements calling for a vote for Ségolène Royal, the opponent to Sarkozy. Now, given everything you've said about Sarkozy, obviously his election was not based on who he is and his popular support as much as it was a rigged election or a collapse, let's say, of the French political system. What was it that weakened the opposition?
Well, Sarkozy got a majority vote, a sizable majority vote, in the segment of the population between 50 and 65, and of people having more than 65. He lost the election in people between 50 and 18, but the vote of the 50, of the 18 to 50 segment of the population, in particular 18 to 25, 60% voted for Ségolène Royal. So, but this vote of between 18 years old and 50 was not enough to counterbalance the vote of people more than 50, because France is an aging country. So why the old people voted for Sarkozy? Because the fear induced and the consequence induced by his social and economic policy, he pretended to be the one who was going to solve the problem by taking measures of public security, authority and order for the sake of order. And these people who were afraid, by the instability of the opposition, of the socialist opposition of Ségolène Royal, voted for Sarkozy. Also, it was rigged, because when Ségolène Royal made a mistake, everybody was stressing the mistake, and this woman, she's a woman, she's incompetent, so on and so. But the press, with all the press, is owned by financial interests at this point. I could enter into a list of them, but it's not necessary now. All the press is under the law of the financial oligarchy. So these people, when Sarkozy made mistakes, and he made tremendous blunders, for example, he was asked, do you know if Al-Qaeda is made of Shiites or Sunnites? And he's a former Minister of Interior, and he was in charge of fighting terrorism together with Cheney and Bush. And he could not answer. He said, I don't know. So he did not know anything on nuclear energy. He did not know the portion of nuclear energy in the production of French electricity. So he's not even competent. He pretends to be competent. He's competent in measures of police state, and France is going to become, under his rule, a police state, an open police state country. But he's not competent otherwise. He has no competence in economics, no competence in international policy, no competence whatsoever.
So the youth vote did go for Ségolène Royal.
Yes. And why we asked to vote for Ségolène Royal? But first, because we could not vote for Sarkozy. So certain people, even in our own movement, wanted to cast a white vote. But I said no. Ségolène Royal represents something different. What's interesting is not her. It's her base, the socialist base, where people are disoriented and are expecting a leadership. And these people that I met at two or three of the Ségolène Royal meetings, at the end of the meetings, recognized me, came to grab our leaflets and say it's much better than the Ségolène Royal leaflets. So because there is an horizon, there is a political perspective, there is a program, there is a vision. And what was lacking, if you look at the campaign, at the whole campaign, and in particular to Ségolène Royal, there was nothing on international policies, nothing on the Eurasian land bridge, nothing on the financial disintegration of the world system, nothing on the new Bretton Woods. And economically, she had no sense of what a national bank, of what's planning, a planning agency, what's a policy of the nation state, which would allow the issuance of public credit to finance great projects. She had no idea what it was, and she did not talk about it. And then in culture, it's even worse, in the era of culture, because they had no idea what is culture of life. And one of the reasons why people were so demoralized and voted for Sarkozy, in particular the old people, is that they were seeking for authority, seeing the destruction of this culture of death that is promoted through gambling. Gambling is throughout the place in France. You have gambling in these little papers that you scratch and you see how much you owned on the lower, for the lower classes, and for the higher classes, a derivatives game, who have increased in France tremendously, like in the United States or in England. So you have gambling, you have this free paying sex, you have the destruction, you have all these clips with programs that are unbelievable. The youth and myself showed some of them to the others, and even the youth were shocked because it's a promotion of the cult of death. You have cemeteries, you have people killing each other, we have people taking drugs, and it's not only in the video games, it's the clips that you can see on the internet and even on TV. So nothing in this socialist opposition on international policies, nothing on physical economy, nothing on what culture is necessary to reestablish the standards of an education of emotions in the population. And if you don't educate emotions, you can't educate reason. So we are pushing now all these three main issues, and we have a lot of response in various areas. First is the socialist youth. The socialist youth, for the best of them, are very good people who are tricked into an organization which is based on fraud, because you have 8,000 members, and of which 3,000 are fake. So it's controlled by the leadership of the party, or part of the leadership, but on the base you have people absolutely discontent with what's happening, and these people turn towards us and say, what you say is much more interesting, please come here and there to give us presentations. You have people in the suburbs who are saying, we don't want to go into the Sarkozy provocations, because Sarkozy is trying to provoke riots, burning of cars, and disorder. They say, no, what we want is to have a perspective of an organized nonviolence. And they refer to Martin Luther King and Gandhi, which is new, mainly women. So I had a good discussion with a few women of these groups in the suburbs, and also certain people in the hip-hop community, which are in the wake of understanding something about classical music and classical culture. So we have a certain following in these circles, plus the rural mayors that signed for me in the campaign, 220, it's a lot, and now there are networks. They have been very well organized by the youth, and I have met about half of them personally. And then 500 others who did not dare to sign, because you needed signatures to be a presidential candidate. You needed 500. So 220 signed. They were very courageous, and it's a very good network. And 500 of them did not sign, but are not a bit coward, but not so bad people. So these people also are in a network. So if you combine these three things, the elements in the socialist youth, the suburb people, and the network of rural mayors, we have a constituency which is approaching in a certain way, is not going as fast, but is approaching in a certain way, the same type of constituency that you have in the United States. We have distributed during the campaign, in 3 weeks, 120,000 leaflets, which in American terms, because the population is five times more in the United States, means 600,000 in the United States, would mean 600,000. So it's not enormous, but it's a lot. It's
John,
better than whoever did.
Let me just interrupt you, because we're getting some emails in, and I want to bring the youth on, but I wanted to ask one more question before we take a short break in about 3 minutes. One of the points Richard Perle made was that this will end the French exception toward the Arab world. There's been an important role that the French have played in the post-war period in the Middle East. What exactly does this mean now? That what will Sarkozy do in terms of Iraq, Iran, where the French up under Chirac had been resisting the Cheney-Bush policy? What will this mean for the prospects of a war with Iran, for example?
Well, Netanyahu sent a letter, issued a statement, praising Sarkozy to the hilt and saying, we are very good friends and we work together. And you should know that a stamp in the state of Israel, whereas you can produce stamps with a mere acceptance of the post office. So a stamp with Sarkozy on it was produced in Israel before the election with Sarkozy. So it's unbelievable. So Sarkozy is supported by extreme right-wing and right-wing circles in Israel very clearly. And a lot of people around him are connected not only to the neoconservative American establishment, but also to their counterparts in Israel. For example, you have a guy called Alain Boer, who is going to be promoted as a kind of advisor or head of a national security council that Sarkozy plans to create. This guy is involved in weapons trading. He's involved with the neoconservatives in the United States and Israel. And you have Pierre Lelouch, who is supposed to be defense secretary, minister of defense in French terms, who is absolutely connected with the Likud lobby in Israel. So you have all these people coming in and changing completely the policy of France, and it will be a destruction of the Gaullist Arab policy. Sarkozy said himself that he thinks that this policy is worthless, and he would do something else, which would be more balanced, and so on and so forth. In fact, it's no more balanced. He would go on the side of the American neocons and on the side of the Israeli right-wing and extreme right-wing.
So that means there's less institutional opposition to Cheney's desire to provoke a further war.
Yes, well, that's true. And the Kosovo issue is very important for that, what France is doing. But there will be a revolt in French institutions against Sarkozy, because Sarkozy is a foreign product, and these people...
Right, Jacques, we'll have to get back to that in just a minute, because we're coming up on a station break. I want to give you a question that came from an old friend of yours, Joel DeJean, in Houston. He said, what is Sarkozy's favorite soup? And the answer he gave is vichyssoise. So after the break, you can explain what Lynn means by saying this is a return of Vichy-style policies, and we'll bring in Delonte and Freddie. You're listening to The LaRouche Show. We're live every Saturday on the web at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also are archived so that if you miss the show live, you can always go to the LaRouchePub.com website and pick up all the previous shows. And I think this may be the third time in the last 6 months we've spoken with Jacques. If you wanted to check out what he was saying earlier in the election and what he was doing, you'll see that his forecasts were unfortunately right on the mark as to the problems we're facing with this Roatan, synarchist, fascist elite. So if you'd like to get copies of LaRouche's most recent webcast, it's now available. I believe it's up on the website, and we'll check with Delonte on that in a minute, on LaRouchePack.com. Or you can call and order copies of literature, including the EIR, at 1-800-278-3135. And tell them you heard about this on the LaRouche Show, and we'll send you some literature. 800-278-3135. You can also send in a contribution, because it's only through LaRouche and the LaRouche Youth Movement that we're going to reverse this crisis of ungovernability, end the era of globalization as a new empire, and get back to FDR policies. So now we'll come back with Jacques Cheminade. I'd like to bring in Delonte. And by the way, if you have questions, we have a couple up on the site already. I'll ask Jacques later, but you can send us email questions at radio@larouchepub.com. Delonte, how are you today?
All right. Pretty good.
You got any questions for Jacques or anything you want to bring up?
No question right now. I can say a few things about what we're up to here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, well, the thing that Jacques laid out was quite grim in terms of the reality of the situation. I thought it was very stark that you had an overwhelming vote for Royale from the youth vote. And this is really what the issue is, because what we're doing here, as I'm here in the editorial process in Leesburg, Virginia, where right now has become the center of the world, not only for the housing bubble, but also for world politics. We're moving on this new website, more catered to grabbing the attention of the 18 to 35-year-old age bracket, for particular reasons, because of what Jacques just laid out, whereas what you see throughout the world and what's been sort of developed globally is that you have this ungovernability in Europe, but you have somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction throughout the Asian areas, particularly, you know, China, Russia, India, and so forth. And so what we want to do, at least for the website, is really give people a better global picture from top down, particularly youth who have a more educated, more sharp political sense and have the capability of acting in a time like this, where you have fascism taking over in Europe. Because the only thing you're going to really have right now is an overwhelming ground sweep of young people within our generation, more particular to the United States, obviously, because a lot of what has to happen has to be centralized here in the U.S. in relationship to these other four powers, Russia, India, and China, and so forth. So as the baby boomers are failing here and the bobos there in Europe, we want to have this groundswell of youth who are much more moving the political process, making the kind of decisions, though they're not in the so-called political positions per se right now. They're at least showing the kind of intellectual protests to change this U.S. Congress, to dump these lunatics in the White House who are run by these fascists like Rohatyn and George Shultz and so forth. So this website, actually LaRouchePack.com, is the central area where people can come to for the top political hot news and the most educated aspect of what is necessary to really move and shape this global situation right now.
Okay. And I would encourage everyone who's listening to the show and people who generally are following LaRouche and the LaRouche Youth Movement to go to the website and do it two or three times a day for a couple of days to see how rapidly the team that Delonte is working with are updating it, giving you the updates. For example, we were the only ones that had Jacques' statements and coverage of what was going on in France. While everyone else was just getting the figures of the vote, we actually had the analysis in real time. Now, Freddie, I'll get to you in just a second, but Jacques, there are two questions that we got sent in to us that are somewhat similar, so I'd like to ask them of you. One is from Ryan Lavelle, and the other is from someone you may know, Bertrand Buisson. Now, what Ryan asks is, he said, first of all, he wants to express his sympathies to the people of France for the outcome of the election. But he asks, given the likelihood of moves toward provocation and then using that to establish a police state, what constitutional remedies are there? Can Sarkozy be removed? And Bertrand writes that he's sad to see people seem to be accepting the results. Even supporters of Royale are saying, well, that's democracy. And he asks, what should we do? So what remedies are there, and what are you and the LaRouche Youth Movement in France going to be doing to address this problem?
First, about people accepting the victory of Sarkozy. Well, some pretend that because they are accustomed to a society of liars, and we are a society of liars. But in fact, they don't agree with it. They say just as a provocation to see if we react. I was in Lyon, which is the second city of France. It's the whole Lyon suburbs and the center of the city is about 3 million inhabitants. So I met the number two in the Socialist Party in the mayor's house. And he said, I want to work with you people because you are the only one who makes sense of what's happening in the world. And in particular, you are the ones who fight to dump Cheney and then Bush in the United States. And I know that. I have been following you since 15 years. So he's a virologist, and now he wants to move his neck out because from one evil, the election of Sarkozy, can come a lot of good, which is a reaction to that, and what we can do to orient that, both from an international standpoint, of course, first, with the key stakes of the world are in the United States, and what we can do here in connection with that. I met also a Gaullist, a prominent Gaullist leader, who helped to elect Chirac president in 1995. He voted for Ségolène Royal this time because he's so upset and so worried that he said, I voted for the left for the first time in my life, and what you said oriented me towards this vote. So now he wants to organize a kind of movement, not a party, which will gather people from the right and from the left, and he wants me to be a kind of inspirer and write a book to exemplify our policies and to inspire that thrust. Then I met the leader of the socialist youth in one of the 90 departments of France, and he said, our organization is absolutely corrupt. We have people with fake cards that vote. From the center, we cannot do anything from the center of the Socialist Party, but you can come in certain of our federations throughout the country and discuss with us and give inspirations, and your youth can work with our youth. We have to be cautious because the central authority of the party can smash us, but you have to do it more and more in diverse parts of the country, and I will tell you with whom. So this I can't say, obviously, publicly now. So also, I met the mayor of a city of 5,000 inhabitants who wants to promote us and do something with us because he's furious with all the French political establishment. He says, finally, I voted myself white because I could not vote for Ségolène Royal, but I know that Sarkozy is a fascist and I don't want him. He's a fascist dwarf financed from outside forces. So there is this understanding of what Sarkozy is, but people have no leadership provided. So if we provide leadership, people immediately change their mind. So we have to provide this type of leadership from an international standpoint. From a national standpoint, it doesn't work because people have the impression that Sarkozy controls everything and it's about true, except the local and the regional institutions that he doesn't. So there is a base inside the country that has to be connected above the Paris chicanerie and the Paris establishment, was to be connected with international forces. And this would be our task. That's the first thing.
When you speak of leadership, I want to bring in our other LIM panelist, Freddie Coronel. Freddie played a leading role 2 weeks ago. I was down there with him in San Diego at the California Democratic Convention, where I believe many of our listeners know that the LaRouche forces forced the California Democratic Party to put impeachment back on the table in a resolution. And as part of that mobilization, two members of the LaRouche Youth Movement were elected to party positions. One is the vice chairman of the African American Caucus, that's Quincy O'Neill, and Wynil Innocente is on the executive committee of the Filipino American Democrats. Freddie was there. Freddie's been involved in helping to build the LIM in Mexico. Freddie, on this leadership question, what can you tell us about what the LIM is doing?
Hello?
Yeah,
can you guys hear
ahead.
Me?
Go ahead,
Freddie. Okay. One, it's kind of just to continue what Delonte was bringing up. It as really throughout not only the United States, but as you know, we receive reports from what goes on in France and what's happening throughout Latin America. The type of level of poverty that we hear about, in some cases see and experience, is to a level that to a lot of older people say that it wasn't, it's not something normal. not only do you have that increase in poverty, but just in the everyday life here in the United States, you know, where you have now more of a lower 90% as opposed to lower 80%. I mean, these types of realities, at a certain point, many people, particularly within the 18 to 35 age bracket, begin to question and want answers to, with regards to, you know, why is this happening? Is there an ability to change it, et cetera? In times of crises such as now, leaders like Lyndon LaRouche have that voice of reason that many young people and older as well are attracted to. And as many people know, here in the United States, LaRouche has the biggest youth following. And this is, and with regards to this and the type of mobilization that we now have with regards to understanding what caused this economic crisis, how we can turn around this economic situation, how we can set out relations with countries such as France, Russia, China, and India, we begin to take on a type of leadership that's missing within the older population, particularly the baby boomer population. And this understanding then gives us a type of authority where we can now, in a certain sense, gain the respect of those in positions of power. And that's what we saw at the Democratic Convention. Just to briefly touch on that, there was already a decision to speak about the impeachment resolution. However, in making sure that we stay clear of what Al Gore, or as we say in Spanish, Al Gordo, would want to introduce, we made it clear that impeachment, yes, is a very important issue, but at the same time, recognizing that this is an attempt at fascism, and it's from that perspective that we remove Cheney from office and begin a type of real economic recovery process. And you saw a number of Democrats throughout the convention. I was a delegate, so I was able to speak to a number of other delegates and others who in the past weren't too clear on LaRouche had now said, you know, you guys are what's needed in the Democratic Party. And we started to see a lot of support now in the months to come throughout the country in places like Boston and places like D.C. and here in California, bringing in the 18 to 35 age group with the type of studies that LaRouche has laid out for our generation. I think within the next coming months, the type of issues that a lot of these Democratic presidential candidates are discussing are going to begin to change to the type of policy discussions that we as a generation would want to see. And that there you see a type of definition of leadership you see it imbued very strongly within the LaRouche youth movement.
Well, Jacques, I'd like to hear a little bit more about this vote breakdown. You say that the majority of the younger vote went against Sarkozy.
Yes, absolutely.
Was that just a reaction, or are people, you say they're looking for leadership. How does that manifest itself?
Well, it's a no vote against Sarkozy, and people want a leadership beyond the no vote. Only 50% of the people who voted for Ségolène Royal voted for her positively. 50% voted for her because they were against Sarkozy. So that's the situation. In that situation, I want to say a few things. The first thing is that the translation of my declaration was a wrong translation. It says France has lost a battle, we shall win the war. The way I wrote it in French is France has lost a battle, we are going to win the war. So what are we doing? We have our website, Solidarité et Progrès, and you should check it. It's a very good one. The youth are running it. It's a very good one. We have two columns, what changes in the world, what we are changing. So we have about 40,000 people per month who are coming in, 40,000 hits, and with 3, 4, 5 updates per day, and I have committed myself to issue a declaration every week, and if needed, much more. So we have that. We have my project, my political project, who has been distributed to the level of 100,000, more or less, and 120,000 leaflets. So we have reached a mass effect that we had never reached before, with internet, with this project, and with the leaflets. So that's new, entirely new in our French organization. The second point is that we are going to run candidates in the legislative elections. We are left with little money, so we are going to have only 6 of them, 3 youth, and 3 from our support base. It's very interesting in terms of the youth. We have about 30 youth in France now in the LaRouche limb, and This means in American terms, five times more, it will be 150 because America is five times more populated than France. So I have been throughout France with them in 40,000 kilometers in 2 months in the car, meeting people. So there is a sense now in the youth of the soul of the country and what has to be done to awake it. De Gaulle used to say, France is like a princess. It takes a nap too often. So sometimes a man should shake it to awake it. So now we are in this moment. So we have a very nice poster saying no to the sarco-masochist France. And this is very important because it was what Fred Bell, in an election, one of the youth members against Sarkozy, has issued in a poster 2 years ago. So now it has been picked up by the Canard Enchaîné, the French satirical newspaper, which is against Sarkozy. In the first page, they said, no to the sarco-masochist France, that should be the slogan of Ségolène Royal. It has not been. So we have this poster, no to the sarco-masochist France, great projects and the use of ideas, the New Deal of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a planned horizon, a planning agency for the horizon, it's a French planning. It works in French. In English, it doesn't say much, but l'horizon du plan, which means for the French, the planning and the state with eyes and ears, and then nobody on the side of the road. So we'll have that with these six candidacies, which is a kind of test in the country to push our ideas and our organizing. And then what also we have is a very good discussion with the youth of France and Germany, some of them, two of Germany, two of France, with Elga, myself, and on a European-based youth policy. So now that the French presidential elections are behind us and that we had this fight in Germany to rotate the leadership of our organization, and now this is accomplished. So now we have to relaunch a French-German, but also whole European alliance of the youth movement. So for that, we have to increase the quality of compassion, the love for the other in the youth movement. And this means that it should be understood that we have to change ourselves through the change of the other. And this is, in personal terms, what the advantage of the other is in political terms, in political nation-state terms. So this is the issue of national sovereignty and personal individual sovereignty. And this standard is, if this standard is established, we can recruit like hell. And if we do that, we stop blocking and we have not blocked, really, because we did a heroic work. The youth did an heroic work for this presidential campaign. But we start blocking in terms of attacking the youth counterculture. We should attack strongly the youth counterculture, which is the destruction of the sentiment, the destruction of emotions, and we have to reestablish the standards of a culture of life, which is art and science, emotions and reason. And this work is done through Schiller, but also some French poets, which are equivalent to that, and of course, mainly through the Corus work and the Kepler work. So with all that, we can completely shift the country and change and have a certain support from institutions who would protect us because they fear Sarkozy more than anything else. So it's a very interesting situation in that sense.
All right. You're listening to Jacques Cheminade and his discussion of the changes in the world in the last few weeks, given in particular the elections in France. One of the changes that occurred, and Jacques, this is something I'm sure will make you very happy, was what the LaRouche youth movement did to Al Gore in Buenos Aires yesterday. Delante or Freddie, either of you have a report on this?
Yeah, I must say one thing. My soul was flying across the Atlantic.
Delante, you got it?
Freddie, you were going to say something.
Yeah. I was just going to say that in Buenos Aires, there's going to be a few conferences held in South America, one in Argentina and then another in Chile, where Gore has been invited to speak. The topic is First Biofuels Congress of the Americas. And this was held in Buenos Aires, which is the capital of Argentina, on May 11th. As many of you know, we have a youth movement there in Buenos Aires, and our youth members there have had dialogue from time and time and again with the president, Nestor Kirchner, with regards to economic policy, international policy, etc. We have a weekly publication entitled Prometeo, which is Spanish for Prometheus, and on the cover of their last issue, it's Al Gore holding a big swastika made out of green leaves, and on the bottom, I'll just translate it, it says, "We have now returned." And so they were distributing this to a number of members at the conference where Al Gore was scheduled to speak. They made contacts, they got out leaflets exposing Al Gore's history as a racist, as a genocidalist, etc. And one of our members was able to get inside. Her name is Betiana. And while Gore was beginning to speak, and apparently some of the topics that he was bringing up this just goes to show how much guts Al Gore really has. I mean, despite anything anyone can say about him, he really has a bit of a courage in a certain sense. Because to go to South America, especially in a country like Argentina, and all of a sudden show a clip and say that Bolivia is overpopulated because of too much development. I mean, that really, it's like I said.
I don't know, Freddie, if that's courage or just complete insanity.
Yeah, probably a mixture of both. I would say a mixture of both because a lot of people within the press that were there, because they were disgusted with Al Gore, stood up. Left. We had organizers outside the event that were able to speak to a number of people. Anyway, at a certain point during the presentation, Betiana stood up and all of a sudden started firing off a number of questions. She said, "Why won't you debate Lord Monckton? Why do you want to reduce population? Why would you want to stop the production of generic drugs to prevent HIV in Africa?" etc., one after the other. And this, as some people there reported, Al Gore was visibly shaken by this. Security came, escorted Betiana out, and at which point on her way out, there was a number of press that were firing away questions at Betiana, asking her what organization she was with, who she represented, what were the questions that she had asked Al Gore, why did she feel that way, etc. There were contacts that were made, and a number of about 400 copies, I believe, of the Prometeo article weekly that had a lot of articles exposing Al Gore was distributed. So it was a pretty good impact that we had there in Argentina, and we'll have to see what happens in Chile once he goes there.
Well, I think it's important to note, given what we were talking about, the role of Roatan and the fascist Lazare Frere networks, that Gore, who is supposedly a Democrat, is being sponsored in Chile by the very networks that put Pinochet in power, which were backed by George Shultz and Felix Roatan. So, Jacques, I'm sure as a Frenchman and as an Argentinian, to hear this report makes you very happy of what we were doing there.
Yeah, it's very good. Here, we have exemplified the love of the other, which is the best weapon against the oligarchical culture in Europe. Mm-hmm. We have exemplified that with a device worked by the youth. It's called the anti-farting machine. So you went with these meetings, all these dignified French scientists promoting the global warming, and we offered them this anti-farting machine, which is a kind of tube connecting the mouse to the asshole to prevent the issuance of CO2. So we came with this machine, and people were totally ridiculed. So then we said that beyond that, you have the death of the third world, and that's what they are doing, is creating the conditions for elimination of part of the world population. So immediately there was wild reactions in the room, a lot of people asking for our leaflets. We have written a leaflet, we wrote a report. So we have created, inside this French establishment, a tremendous opposition. We had one of our best contacts who is working, we did not know it, in a lab where the whole sector is headed by women, and the woman was wild about what we had done. She said, "It's unbelievable! You have destroyed. You have destroyed the reputation of the lab. We have destroyed us. It's terrible what these youth are doing." So we're all very happy.
Well, Jacques, that is the tradition of François Rabelais, no?
Exactly. Exactly.
Delonte, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think it's quite obvious that this kind of Rabelaisian humor is key to, you know, really dealing with these kind of grim times. In fact, I want to just throw out there that LaRouche just wrote this, you know, beautiful piece on a book review. On this question of humor, and I think it was Rosenberg, yeah. And you know, I haven't read the book as personally, but the description of it goes through, you know, these sort of fairy tale sort of stories of Yiddish humor, and which were used during the periods like this, like as we are in now. And so what we saw in Argentina and also what we're doing here, what we're doing in France and doing in the United States is really key to, you know, uplifting the population.
Well, I think the interesting thing is Lynn's title, Cervantes would have been impressed.
Yeah.
The Yiddish Renaissance literally stood on the back of Cervantes. And among the great writers of the Yiddish Renaissance, Abramovitz, who was one of the three top writers, wrote a novel called The Travels of Benjamin, the Benjamin the Great, which was modeled on Don Quixote. So these wonderful classical themes keep reemerging. And in fact, Jacques, that's what you were talking about in terms of how you change a population that's so impoverished spiritually that they would look to someone like Sarkozy to save them.
Yeah, and in the middle of this evil and this tragedy, you make people happy because they feel suddenly that you can be freed from this grip. And even here, I make a lot of Jewish jokes on and this Benjamin the Great travels, also I mentioned, to various people, and they are stupefied. I said, "But how can you say that? You are supposed to be anti-Zionist." I said, "Sure, what I'm doing. I enjoy Jewish culture. I am one of the persons in France that know it." And people say, oh. So you have to take the French people off guard and with humor, so that the question that they throw at you or what they throw at you is turned around and you go behind and you reach the basis of the wrong axioms that they have in their minds, and all of a sudden you free them. And this changes completely people. And this is what is love for the other. It's not to be nicey-nicey, especially in France. It's to take the chains and break them in front of them so they feel happy.
And thus the anti-fart device.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we're running out of time. I want to, we do have an email from Fred Unifeld from Monroe, Louisiana. I want to congratulate Fred because he is the LaRouche supporter who got the Louisiana State Central Democratic Committee, which is the executive body of the Louisiana Democratic Party, to vote to support the impeachment of Cheney. And Fred asks the question, why is this not covered anywhere besides on the LaRouche PAC website? Well, Fred, the simple answer is because we tell the truth and everyone else doesn't. But congratulations for your work there. Jacques, just one quick question. We're down to less than a minute. I assume you're going to continue your travels to pull together this coalition that you talked about.
Yes, sure. I'm having fun at it. The youth also are going to spread inside the country in various places. We have spent like 15 months working to organize a campaign to organize the mayors and then to work on Kepler, the chorus. So now it's time that we organize various choruses inside the country to make of the whole country a chorus, a political chorus, with our political chorus, with our music chorus work. So we are about to do that, and we would see how the Sarkozy government would react with police state measures or attacks against us. But in any case, the fight will be various steps up than what it was a few months ago. So
we'll see if Sarkozy is going to send out the Fleek to attack people who are singing.
Yeah, he would ridicule himself. Yeah. Ridicule is what kills in France.
Well, make sure you check out the LaRouche PAC website, and if you read French, check out Solidarité et Progrès, and see what Jacques and the LaRouche youth movement in France are doing. Jacques, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Let me say one last word, 1 second, to Fred. Yes. We have been following very closely what he did in Louisiana, and we thank him so much for what he did, and we have been telling it around in France.
Okay, I think you think Fred might be partly French, so. All right, so.
Shrimpy.
Jacques, thank you, and Freddie and Delonte, thank you very much. Join us again next week, next Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thank you again,
for the LaRouche.
All of you.
Okay, goodbye.